You know, God is good. And, you know, I know that a lot of times we all have problems and we all have things going on. I was going to go see Audrey last week. We had talked to Susan and Daryl the week before because he had brought me some things for my taxes. And, you know, he had told me that, you know, we could go and see her, and because they had kind of acted like at one point they didn't want you to go, you know, and the nursing home wouldn't let you go for a while, you know, with the COVID being so rampant and all that. But about Wednesday, our sump pump went out. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we were working in our basement. I think the Lord is going to perfect me through sump pump things. I've had more sump pumps go out than I don't know. I actually had a sump pump sitting there ready to put in, but you know, we had to clean up the water and we had to try to dry everything out, and you know how that goes. But you know what? God's good, and we got it all straightened out pretty much. And so all of these little things that happen in our lives that are aggravations and stuff, those things, if we'll just trust the Lord, they'll end up perfecting us, to be honest with you. And, you know, sometimes it's just natural things a lot of times, and it happens. Those things happen to everybody. But anyway, you know, this morning when we were having Sunday school, you know, I was trying to sit back and listen, and I was listening to all the different things that were being said in there. And, you know, at one point or another, everyone just about hit on what my sermon was today and the things I'm going to talk about here today. And anyway, I'm going to start off with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come into your presence right now. I ask you to really have your way, Father. Lord, you know that a few words spoken from your mouth are life-giving words. And I can do nothing except what you allow me to do. And I ask you that your spirit would just reach out and touch hearts and just give people the vision to see what you're talking about here. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor, for you alone are worthy of it all. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title to my sermon today is The Treasure of Single Vision. And I'm going to start off in Matthew 6, 21 through 25, but I'm going to start off reading that through the first verse, and then I'm going to read some of the other verses through the Message Bible. But I've got something stuck in between there, and I'll read that to you. And Matthew 6:21 says this. It's obvious, isn't it, that the place where your treasure is the place where you will most want to be and to end up. The Passion Translation in 2 Corinthians 4:6-7 says this. God said, "Let brilliant light shine out of darkness." Is the one who cascades his light into us, the brilliant dawning light of the glory of the knowledge of God as we gaze into the face of Jesus Christ. The treasure in clay jars, we are like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within us, so the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's, not ours. And you know, this thing is really all about God, what he does inside of us. You know, it's not really so much about us, but we're kind of that vessel that he's chosen to pour into. Now, going back to the Message Bible, in verse 22, it says, "Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body will be filled up with light. If you live squinty-eyed," I like that, squinty-eyed. Makes me laugh when I think about that. Squinty eyes is where you know, sometimes you get out in a real bright sun and you kind of squint because it's just so bright. Well, that's what he's talking about. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dank or a dark cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. You know, I walk into rooms. My brother, I used to go into his office sometimes, and that boy always had the blinds closed. Man, I'd walk in there, and I'd have to flip on the light because he wouldn't have the light on either. I'd turn on the light. I don't like dark rooms. I don't like to go in dark rooms. I like light. Everywhere I go, I like to, even in the natural, I like light, you know. But he was like a nocturnal something. I mean, he liked everything dark, you know. I can't really stand that when I go in a real dark room. I flip on the lights the first thing I do when I get in there. You know, in 2 Kings 6:14 through 7, and this is out of the New Living Translation, okay? It says, so one night King Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. And when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning, this was Elijah's servant, the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. And he came back and he said, oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elijah. And Elijah said to him, don't be afraid. And I'm going to say to you, I don't care what's happening in your life. Don't be afraid. God's in control. He's got it. You just trust him. You look to him. And I'm going to tell you what, he'll meet you. And he'll meet you right the way you need to be met. Don't be afraid, Elijah told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Then Elijah prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillsides around Elijah were filled with horses and chariots of fire. Wow. There are two types of vision, natural vision and spiritual vision. And I tell you what, when we look with the eyes of the natural, sometimes it can look pretty grim, pretty dark, pretty gloomy. But when you look through the eyes of the Spirit, you can see that you're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses that the glory of God is with you everywhere you go. It's not only surrounds you, it's in you, you know. And just like there also is two types of mind, the natural mind and the spiritual mind, you know. In 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 16, this is out of the Moffat translation. I like this. The unspiritual man rejects these truths of the Spirit of God. To him, they are sheer folly. He cannot understand them, and the reason is that they must be read with spiritual eyes. The spiritual truth, again, a spiritual man, again, can read the meaning of everything, and yet no one can read what he is. For whoever understands the thoughts of the Lord, so as it is given him instruction, no one. Well, our thoughts are Christ's thoughts. In other words, and in the King James it says, we have the mind of Christ. Now, we can choose to function in the natural mind or to function in the mind of Christ. Now, if you function in the mind of Christ, you're going to trust him in everything. You're going to look at him in everything. You're not going to worry about everything that happens because you're going to say, I know you've got this, God, and I know I don't have to worry. You're my ever-present help in time of need. You're exactly what I need. You know, I wrote down here, this is the beginning of the shifting of our attention from the natural understanding to seeing the things with the eyes of the Spirit. You know, I've talked to you many times about the five natural senses, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But the five natural senses, you know, they're taste, touch, feel, see, hear, you know, so on and so forth. And you know, we have five spiritual senses too. And because Scripture will say, taste and see that the Lord's good. Well, what does that mean? You go up and take a bite out of him? No. That the sweetness of his presence, you can taste the bread of life. He is the bread of life. You know, when it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, it's when that spiritual voice begins and your spiritual ears open up and you begin to hear the word of God, it begins to transform you. You know, you can be touched with the feeling of infirmities. It says he was touched with the feeling of their infirmities. You can be touched with a feeling of infirmities in others. And a lot of times that's a godly feeling, you know. You just feel that somebody has a problem and you feel like, man, I need to pray for that person. You know, be obedient and do what God tells you, because that's one of those spiritual senses, you know. But anyway, I want you to understand that there's two things. There's the natural and there's the spiritual. And you can either function in the natural all the time or you can function in the spiritual. And you need to ask God to let you function in the spiritual realm. And when you do, you're going to look with a different eye on everything that's happening. You know, in James 1:8, it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And the definition for double-minded is two-spirited. And what were we talking back in Sunday school? How many spirits does it say in Ephesians that we have? One. And when you say there's two, what are you saying? You're putting your soul in the place of God's spirit. You're letting your soul be elevated to a place where it doesn't belong. It belongs under the covering of the Holy Spirit. And it literally means two-spirited, vacillating in opinions or purpose. Double-minded. A double-minded man. It's the word dipsuchos is what it is. And a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You know, I've shared this before, and I hope Margaret doesn't get mad at me for saying this, but when we go out to eat, I have the hardest time getting her to tell me where she wants to go. And I'll say, well, I just don't know what I want to eat. I say, well, tell me what you don't want to eat, and then we'll figure out what we can eat when we go out to eat or something. You know, and I said, well, what would you do if I wasn't around? What would you go eat? I probably just wouldn't eat. I'd stay home. I said, oh, come on now. You know, in Genesis, now listen to this. In Genesis, when Noah's Ark landed, he sent out a raven. Now, you know, I looked at that and I thought, now why did he send out a raven? You know? Does anybody know what kind of food ravens eat? That's right. They eat dead meat. That's what they eat. They're scavengers. And later on, he sent out the dove. And do you know what a dove eats? No meat. No bugs. No nothing. They eat seeds. That's all they eat. Seeds, fruit, that kind of thing. Now, if they eat seeds, what are seeds a type of? If you take a seed and you put it in the ground, what is it? What's going to happen? It's going to grow. So it only talks about, it only partakes and eats of life. It doesn't partake and eat of death. So when Noah sent out that dove, and that dove finally returned on the second time out, it returned back too. And I got news for you. Doves are like homing pigeons. Pigeons are almost like a type of dove, you know. They come back to their home. But when it came back the second time, it had an olive branch in its mouth. So that was showing that there was life out there, you know. So Noah knew that it was going to be time pretty soon to come out of the ark. You know, and anyway, I'm going to read you the rest of this. Ravens can eat dead carrion. A dove only eats seeds. And in Scripture, it tells us to have dove vision. Now, when Jesus was baptized, John said he saw the Spirit of God descending on him. What? Like a what? Like a dove. And what was the significance of that? What we just said there, doves signify life. They only partake of life. They don't partake of death. And, you know, And I'm going to talk to you about dove's eyes a little bit. In the Song of Solomon, here's what he said in the Song of Solomon. He said, "How beautiful you are, my darling. You're beautiful. How beautiful." He says, "Your eyes are like doves." You know. Now, I started thinking, now, why does he talk about eyes like a dove? And it says other places of Scripture talks about dove's eyes, you know. And here's what I found out here. I'm gonna read you this. It says, doves can only see what's right in front of them. A dove has single vision. It doesn't have the perennial vision. It doesn't look at things. It can only concentrate on one thing at a time, okay? And it says, so you understand that when the Spirit came upon Jesus and it lighted upon him like a dove, he wants us to have that kind of vision where we only see him. I love the song, and it says, and we used to sing this song a lot, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." When we ask the Lord to help us really, truly have single vision to where we see the hand of God in everything, when we look at somebody instead of looking at that fleshly nature, that natural man, we begin to say, "God, you're in there. I know you're inside that person. He just hasn't come to the realization of it yet," you know. And we don't go ahead and judge, you know, according to the seeing of the natural eye, but only according to seeing of the spiritual eye, you know. And you know, when it says here, it says they don't have a perennial vision. So you understand that when the Spirit of Jesus lighted up, when it lighted on him like a dove, he wants us only to have that kind of vision where we only see him, you know. And I love that song. And truly, we need to turn our eyes on Jesus. I'm going to read you this other thing about a dove here, and I think this is good too. This guy said, "I learned an interesting fact today about the eyes of a dove. Apparently, because of the narrow shape of their head, they're only able to focus on one object at a time. So a dove always has singular focus. Maybe I've heard this before, but never struck me as significant until today. Throughout all scriptures, a dove symbolizes the Holy Spirit. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye is single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But when thy eye is evil, thy body shall be full of darkness." That's Luke 11:34. Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth." John 16:13. Jesus also referred to himself as the way, the truth, and the life. So when it leads us into all truth, it's going to lead us into him. It's going to lead us into a full recognition of him, a full acknowledging of him. And it says, the Spirit of Christ who comes to us arrives with only one point of focus, Jesus Christ. It is Christ that the Spirit is in us, sees, sings about, and longs for. Not only is Christ the singular focus of the Spirit, he also is the singular focus of his bride, who also has dove eyes. Now think about that. The church is to have dove eyes also. We're to actually learn to focus in on Jesus Christ. Quit acknowledging all the other stuff out there. We was talking about Smith Wigglesworth a little bit this morning back in Sunday school. And Smith Wigglesworth, for those that have never heard of him before, he was an old-time Pentecostal preacher that God got a hold of way back in the early 1900s, 1900s. And he was not a very educated man. And he heard of a move of the Holy Spirit at a certain place. And this was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit where people began to speak in tongues and various things. And they ran a mission that was a Salvation Army mission. His wife did all the speaking. He didn't speak. I've told this before, but anyway, he went to check that out. He had heard about it, and he went to that part of the country to check it out, a different part of the country. And when he got there, he was from England, actually. And when he got there over in England, and when he got there, he telegraphed back and he told his wife, he says, it's real, you know. And when he came back home, he walked in and it was time for somebody to get up and speak. And she said, well, if it's real, you preach tonight. Well, he didn't preach. He wasn't a preacher at that point. And he got up and he preached. And all she could do was stand in the back of the church and say, That's not my Smith. It was the Holy Spirit moving upon him, causing him. And God began to move him out into a miraculous ministry to where he had a healing ministry. He had a ministry where people were risen from the dead and everything else. I mean, it was just very, very miraculous ministry. But you know what? He stayed humble his whole life. He was a very humble man. And I've told you the story before about this one story, and I really liked it because he had a guy that drove him around, you know, and they went in buggies for a while, and then I guess later on they went in cars because it was back in the real early times. And this guy who took him around said that he told him, take me over to this certain park, and he took him over to this park, and I've shared this with you before, but he said, he pulled up and he said Smith got out of the vehicle and went over and sat down on the park bench and just sat there. And this guy said, I knew that he never did anything without there being a purpose or a reason for what he did. And he said, he sat there for a while and sat there and sat there. And he said, I'm sitting over in the vehicle and I'm thinking, well, he's missed it this time. He said, all of a sudden, this other guy comes over and sits down on the park bench next to him. And he says, he starts talking to this guy, and he said, they're having a conversation. He said, he's observing this from a distance. And he said, the next thing you know, that guy's down on his knees giving his life to the Lord. Smith would get on a train. He'd be on a train. He got on a train one time, and he was sitting next to a Presbyterian minister. And this minister, after he just didn't do anything, he just was sitting there, and he said, all of a sudden, that minister looked over at him and said, you convict me of sin. Well, just his presence sitting there next to that man. And another time he was in Italy, and he took took them through the catacombs. You know, these priests, they take you down through the catacombs. In Rome, apparently, there's tons of catacombs, and people are buried down there and everything. So they took him on a tour through the catacombs, and it was a priest. So he strikes up a conversation with this priest, you know, Catholic priest. And the Catholic priest tells him, you know, after they talk for a while, he says, oh, Smith, he says, you'd make a great Catholic, you know. And Smith looked at him and he says, well, I am a Catholic. And Catholic just means universal. That's what that word Catholic actually means. He said, I am a Catholic. He said, but if you ever get saved, you'd make a great Christian. And he led that guy to the Lord. And that guy got downstairs and he led him to the Lord. And I mean, he had that kind of impact. And a lot of people were healed. People were raised from the dead. All kind of things happened in his ministry. But he was very humble. But also, if you read his books, you will find out that he always said, this is just a foretaste of what God's going to do. He said, greater than this is coming, way greater. And he was the kind of guy that he would not go to doctors or anything. And he literally had an appendix that hurt him all the time, I guess. And he wouldn't go under the knife or anything. And I don't know back then how good doctors were anyway back then, but he wouldn't do it because he just trusted the Lord, you know. And no matter what went on, he was going to trust the Lord. And, you know, I think they even thought at one point that his appendix had burst because he just was in such agony and pain. But he'd go out and minister to people even when he was deathly sick, you know, and stuff. But, you know, I just want you to know that God wants us to have that singleness of eye, that dove's vision, to where we only see him. And, you know, that one song, "Let me see the hand of God in everything, for I know that not but pleasure it will bring," you know. And that's the truth, folks. It'll cause you to be at peace. It'll cause the storms to be stilled and everything else when you can acknowledge the hand of God in every situation and every circumstance. And a lot of times that's all he's waiting for. You know, when Jesus was out in the boat and they were crossing over the sea there of Galilee, and the great storms came, he was laying up in the head of the boat, asleep. And the waves were beating in the wind, and these guys were fishermen. I mean, and you know, fishermen, they get out in some pretty rough weather. And they went over and said to him, "Lord, don't you care that we perish?" They didn't know who they had in the boat with them, did they? And he rose up and he kind of rebuked them a little bit. He said, "Oh, you have little faith." And he rebuked the wind and the waves. And there was a bit great, it says, Scripture says there was a great calm. And they were instantly where they were going. And you know, that's the thing. When we can acknowledge him and get that singleness of vision, that singleness of mind, quit letting all the outside situations and circumstances beat us to death. And I'm not saying I'm there. Don't get me wrong. I'm never going to stand up here and tell you, "Well, bless God, I've arrived." Because I still, you know, it was not no fun working in that basement for them for 4 days, basically. And we was down there to 1 o'clock the first night. I had my feet wet, my pants wet. And finally, I took my shoes off and was walking in the water barefoot. And that water was cold. But I thought, I'm not getting nothing else wet, you know, because I got all this wet stuff. But you know what? It's okay. I mean, it's all good. God knows exactly what we need to work on us sometimes. And I can't say that it didn't aggravate me a little bit that it happened, because it did. But I thank God that I went down there that evening, because I normally go down in the morning, and that particular morning I didn't go down there. And I went down in the evening, and I can't remember why I went downstairs, but I went down there, and I walked towards the other side of the basement, and all of a sudden my feet started getting wet, and I thought, uh-oh. And I opened that other basement door and looked in there, and there was about that much water all over the floor. But we caught it before it got everything, all of the carpets wet and stuff on the other side. One side's got carpet and the other side doesn't. And I just thank God that we got it before it even got worse of a mess, you know. Because I tell you what, it ain't no fun doing that stuff. But you know what? All of those things, is that going to matter 100 years from now? Is it going to matter 2 years from now? It's not. You know, and a lot of times we get upset and get worked up about things that don't mean anything. And if we'll just trust the Lord, everything will work out, you know. And it just so happened that I had bought a new pump about 2 or 3 months earlier, and it was sitting there in a box ready to go in. The pump was working fine when I bought it, but I said, I'm going to get prepared and just in case something happens. And I was planning on, I'd been thinking, I'm going to put that pump in, you know, and I hadn't put it in yet. And who knows, maybe that was the Lord letting me know, you should have put the pump in. I didn't put it in. So I trudged through all that water and stuff. And that Margaret, she's a worker. I mean, she just worked and worked and worked down there. And, you know, but you know how it is, folks. All of these tribulations and little trials that we go through in life, these things are nothing. If we'll just trust God, we'll be fine. But I just want you to know, and I was going to tell you this. We were talking about the knowledge of good and evil back there. Remember that when we were talking in Sunday school? Do you know what evil is? Do you know what it is? Evil is live backwards. Spell it. Take evil and Turn it around. Spell it the other way. L-I-V-E. And you know, when they were in the garden, they were never told that they couldn't eat of the tree of life. They were just told that they weren't to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what happened to them was they entered into the sensual realm. They began to think with their five natural senses. And once they started thinking with their five natural senses, they never said anything about not being clothed. But then all of a sudden, they were ashamed because they weren't clothed. They weren't clothed with the presence of God. They weren't clothed with the vision of being able to see God in everything. And then what happens? They hide themselves. And what happens then? God begins to speak to them in their hiding. And they said, well, we hid because we're naked. He said, who told you you're naked? You know. And you know what? When you start looking at the knowledge of good and evil, you'll make yourself naked. You'll make yourself exposed. You'll make yourself ashamed. You'll bring shame into your life because you can't live up to that. Oh, this is good. Oh, that's evil. You know, I've told you the story of the old man, the wise old China man. He had one grandson, and one will close with this. He had one grandson, and they had one horse. And he sent the grandson out. The grandson was just a young man, you know, a young teenage boy. He sent the grandson out to feed and water the horse. And he went out to feed it and water it, and he forgot to lock the gate. And the horse saw that the gate wasn't locked, and he broke out of the gate, and he ran off. Well, all of the townspeople gathered around after they heard about it, and they were very superstitious, and they said, oh, this is bad luck. This is bad luck. And the wise old Chinaman said, how do you know? And that was his reply. Well, there was kind of a drought in the land, and the horse got out and got with a herd of horses. And he remembered that there was water down there in that pen. So he started coming back down to the wise old Chinaman's house, and he brought them other horses with him. And the wise old Chinaman looked out the door and saw that, and he told his grandson, quick, run out, open the gate. He opened the gate. All them horses went into the pen. He said, quick, close the gate, close the gate. He closed the gate. All the people gathered around. They said, oh, this is good luck. This is good luck. And the wise old Chinaman said, how do you know? Didn't judge it one way or the other. Well, a warlord came through that part of the country, and he was collecting up all of the young men to take them off to war. Well, what happened was, before he got there, he sent the young boy out, or the young man out, to break one of the horses so that they could start selling the horses to get money. And it bucked him off and broke his arm. Well, the people gathered around, and they said, oh, this is bad luck. This is bad luck. The wise old man said, how do you know? Well, then when that warlord finally came through that area, he took off all the young people and made them go off and fight in the war, except for the young man who had the broken arm. So if you look at the progression of that, bad luck, good luck, bad luck, good luck, bad luck, good luck, saved his life. And that's the way it is in God. We don't always know what's happening around us. We don't always, and he doesn't want us to know. Because I tell you what, he wants us to trust him and have faith in him no matter what's going on around us. And if we'll do that, when we get farther down the road, we'll be able to look back and say, oh, God met me here. Oh, he met me there. Oh, he took care of me here. You know, I was about ready to give up, and he come right in like a flood and helped me in this situation or that situation. And I tell you what, that's what we need to do, get that vision where we just keep our eyes focused upon Jesus Christ and upon him and him alone and trust him on a daily basis. For when we do that, we're going to find that we've received a tremendous treasure, and that treasure is the knowledge of God and the knowledge of realizing that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of ourselves. You are that clay pot, and he's the glory in the clay pot. Praise God. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer, and if anybody wants to be prayed for or got anything you want to say, feel free to speak up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your words. They truly are spirit and life. I thank you for even showing me that the word evil is just life or live spelled backwards. And he wants us to live. He wants us to partake of the tree of life, for he is that tree. And if we partake of the tree that you are, Lord, we become a part of the tree of life. In the first psalm, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner. But his delight is in the Lord, and he is like a tree planted by rivers of water. And his leaves shall not wither, and his fruit shall be there, you know, basically. I'm not quoting exactly right, but that's the way it goes. And you know what? He wants us to be that fruitful people. He wants us to be part of the tree of life, and we can only be part of the tree of life when we quit partaking of the knowledge of good and evil. Because evil is just the word live or live reversed. And that was why Noah sent out the raven first, because the raven would eat carrion. He would eat dead stuff. But the dove went out, and he would only eat stuff that was going to bring forth more life. And that's what you want us to do. We want us to partake of you, to partake of your life, that we might be an extender of that life. In Jesus' name I pray, I ask you to bless your people as they go forth, and we give you all the praise and glory. Amen and amen. Praise God. Anybody got anything they want to say before we close? Yeah.
I have. Can I say something?
Sure, you surely can. Uh-huh.
I didn't hear that. And, you know, a while back, you all prayed for my...
For your hearing. Uh-huh.
A little. But, so, and my kid said, Mom, just get a hearing aid.
Right.
And I said, what? And go against God? Because... My ears for me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go out and get a hearing aid. Well, I'm going to go get a hearing aid.
Okay.
Not that I don't believe
yeah.
that God can do that. It's just my time is not his time.
Right.
So I'm good getting a hearing aid.
Okay.
So I can hear you.
Okay. Okay, I was going to. I will tell you this, Ed. They do have hearing devices up there where you can stick it. You still got them, Margaret. Where you can put it in your ear and you can turn it up and you can hear if you can't hear. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you. If he tells you to wait on him, you wait on him. If not, then take advantage of what's available. That's okay. That's okay. God bless you.